Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
I'm here. Just kidding. Yeah, we had a dust storm yesterday. I was messing with you. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, July 6, 2011, episode 178, sponsored by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world.
Oh, that's a cue, isn't it?
Oh, my God. We're a mess.
Just was looking at something else. And, you know, all that dust apparently corroded my innards, too.
Guess what?
Uh-huh.
It's Wednesday.
Help! Help! Somebody save me! Help!
Hi, everybody.
Hi,
everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. Smell manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Yeah, boyfriend. Well, yes. We had a Hidalgo-style dust storm here last night. And when I say that, really what it means is that there was literally a wall of dust that encompassed the city. And it, like, rolled in and covered everything. And apparently it went east to west. But it was ridiculous. Glenn, I know you posted the picture online, so everybody can go and see what ridiculousness. I swear the good Lord does not intend for anybody to live in Phoenix, Arizona, and he tells you every day. I mean, I'm not kidding. Every day there's like a reason. But I had one of the worst days that I've had since I've lived here in Phoenix yesterday. I mean, it was like it just wouldn't quit. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, it started out pretty darn bad. Now, yesterday's show was great. I must admit that I don't remember a lot of it because if you listened yesterday, I actually got in at about 2 o'clock in the morning because my flight was late coming back from Seattle where I was visiting my husband. And I had such a great time. It was awesome. And I know you talked about your driving lesson, and I don't remember a thing of it, Glenn. So we're going to have to go over your very first driving lesson again because I clearly cannot remember any of it. And so I got like 3 hours of sleep. By the time I finally got to bed and got to sleep, I get up for the show at 4:45 in the morning. I come out. I do the show. It starts at 6 a.m. our time and then, you know, 6 to 7:30. And then I go out and I start taking care of my animals. And I woke up and did the show and everything was fine. And after I got off the computer here, I walked outside and I realized that my farm sitter is way fired. Like, I was regaling you with awesome tales of how great this guy was that was staying at our house, apparently not so great. I hate to call him out completely, but I'm going to. I'll tell you everything, but I walked outside and I am the owner of 6 chickens and now I have 2. He did not put them away at night, and you have to put them away at night because of the reason we have coyotes. So I walked outside.
You lost four of your chickens?
I lost four of my six chickens, and the fifth one is injured. And so she's currently in a crate in my living room right now, and both of them are. They're going to live inside until I've nursed them back to health. It's too hot out there for a sick chicken. So crushingly devastating day yesterday. And, of course, you know, the remnants of them were out there, and so I had to clean that up. And it was just, you know, heartbreaking, right? So, you know, these are like, I've had these girls for over a year. These were, you know, and the new one is gone. And, you know, it was just devastating. So,
and Chad isn't home. Let's remind everybody. Chad's not home to console.
My husband is still currently up in Seattle where he's flying. And so, you know, I had to make that call. And we have a pool, and it turned totally green. So it was like, okay, got to get some.
I hate that, by the way. We had a pool, too, and I hate that. You come out one morning, and the sucker's green. You've been doing everything right, and it's just green.
Yeah, and so I was out of town for about 4 days, and apparently that gives it plenty of time to turn green. And, I mean, the farm sitter was supposed to do some stuff regarding the pool, apparently didn't. So the pool is green, so I have to go to the chemical store and get all these chemicals, spend a bunch of money, come home, and I'm working on the pool. Mind you, it got up to 114 degrees yesterday. 114 degrees. That is stupid. That's not just hot. That's like you walk outside and you can't breathe kind of hot. Mind you, I also have horses outside who I've now brought in, and they're standing under misters, and they've got their little shade covers and everything. So they're fine. And then one of the misters is broken, so it actually, while I was gone, flooded the stall. My farm sitter did not at all try to fix it and just let the stall flood. So I'm like, okay, I walk outside, like, okay, this is a complete disaster. So this whole day, I'm like, okay, I'm going to ride at night because, I nobody's here. I can ride at night. My husband's not home. I can ride. It stays light until about 8. Once the sun goes over the mountains, it's the perfect time to ride. So I wait all day long. And all I want to do is ride my horse because, you know, it's just like therapy. And I go out to get on my horse, and I pull him up, and I get tacked up, and then the wind starts. And wind. Like, we're not talking about a nice little beautiful breeze. We're talking wind blowing sand into your eyes, gusting. It was crazy. So I get him groomed. I throw him on a lunge line for like 4 minutes and realize, like, one of us is going to get hurt. So I put him back in the stall. And then, boom, the lightning starts. The lightning. It's everywhere. I've never seen lightning like this in Phoenix, Arizona, ever. Then the rainstorm starts, which, of course, you don't expect rain, and we don't really have a great place to put the hay. So, of course, then I'm, like, loading the hay into the truck, and I back the truck up underneath my patio. So I've currently got two chickens in my living room and a pickup truck parked in my patio. So it's like, okay, this can't get any worse. Oh, what a day. This has been awful. You know, it's now 8:30 at night, and then my husband calls. He's like, hey, babe, how's it going? I'm like, oh, my God, I just don't know why. He's like, oh, so I've got some news for you.
Oh, no.
What?
He's been extended, hasn't he?
Yes, but only like 48 hours. So he should be getting home Sunday night as opposed to Saturday morning.
I thought you were
going to
say 2 more weeks.
Oh, my God, I would kill him. I would literally kill him. So he's not coming home on Saturday morning as planned. And so, you know, I talked to him. I'm like, okay, I got to go to bed. You know what? Let me take a shower because I'm covered in dust. I've been running around with the hay. The dogs are driving me crazy. The horses are in, you know, the chickens are dead. I'm like, this is the worst day ever. And then I go to take a shower and my hot water heater's broken. So it was a nice cold shower in the Jennings household before I finally crawled into bed, where I then could not sleep and laid there for 2.5 hours before finally drifting off a little after midnight. So good times. I really need a hug.
We'll give you a virtual hug.
Thank you. So that was my day. And the haboob that came over Phoenix, if you have seen these pictures
on the
news.
What was that like? Yeah, we saw the – there's a time-lapse one that Jennifer found, too, this morning, that one of our listeners posted, actually. And what I thought was incredible, and the part I didn't realize about it, was the clouds that build right over it. It was incredible to watch.
Yeah, those are the storm clouds. And what those clouds do, when you see – and I know this because my husband's a pilot, and I'm kind of a dork like this, is I get excited about this stuff, is when you see those clouds – that look really tall, like they're being sucked up into the middle, that's a storm. And so we kind of had those off on the horizon all day long, but it wasn't over our farm. Being in Phoenix, there's mountains that surround Phoenix, and so most of the storms stay outside the mountains. It's like this vortex of heat death that we live in here in Phoenix. And so it's all out there. And then so when you see those storm clouds suck up, what they're doing is they're pulling the moisture up and it's about to drop. So what it did was it also pulled all the dust up and dirt and sand, because it's a godforsaken desert. So it pulled everything up, and then it just crushed the city. I mean, just crushed it. I mean, everything's fine. It's just everything is really dirty.
Well, they said the winds were 60 to 80 miles an hour, and that it's one of the worst ones that you've had in like 100 years.
Yeah, I haven't checked my trees out front this morning because I was afraid. I didn't need to start my day like that, because we planted all these trees to create shade, and I'm sure that a couple of them are probably broken. But yeah, it was crazy wind. I mean, the kind of wind that scares your dogs. And of course, I realized that out of my four dogs, three are afraid of storms. Just like your dog is afraid of storms. So I had three dogs underneath my feet. Boomer, the boy dog, is up chewing a bone. He doesn't care at all. The rest of the girls are like stuck to me like Velcro. So, yeah, it was a great day.
Now, how long did it last?
The sandstorm probably lasted a good 20 minutes. Where it was just blowing. Now, mind you, we had major wind for 2 hours beforehand and probably 2 to 3 hours afterwards. But that big overcoming dust storm thing that rolled through the city, please, you guys, go on Facebook and look at this link, because that says it all. I mean, that is – so it's time-elapse photography of this dust storm, like, engulfing the city. And I really don't know. I haven't checked the news and seen what else is going on around Phoenix. But for me, we're in a brick house and we're pretty good. And the horses are all still here and the shade's up. However, all that work that I did on the freaking pool yesterday, you
now
literally,
full of dust.
Because we have a pine tree that's over the pool, it's entire pine trees and dirt in the pool. So that's some other exciting activity that I get to do today. Awesome.
You poor thing.
Yeah.
And this always happens when your spouse isn't home. It always happens when your spouse isn't home. That's the only time stuff like this happens.
And of course, the spouse feels really bad. You know, I'm so sorry. I wish I could be there to help you. Oh, my God. It's like sunny and 60 here. I love it. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. God, I'm freezing. I'm so cold. I'm like, don't talk to me. Okay, so that's enough of my rant. I'm excited to be a positive. We've got a fun show. Jennifer's going to tell us all about it, and I'm excited to kind of start the day anew after I go clean the pool and fix my broken trees and collect the rest of the feathers I couldn't get yesterday. Good times.
No, the feathers blew away. You won't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, the windstorm stuck them up.
Because you brought your other two chickens in, and they would be in California by now.
Oh, no doubt. I'm so glad I did bring them in. And so, of course, I had to take I'll send you the picture. Of course, I had to take a picture of the chickens in the house to send to my husband and be like, ha-ha, the chickens are in the house, and you're not here to do anything. But I digress.
Yes,
Jennifer, what is on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, oddly enough, it's all about crises. We hope
no doubt.
Yeah, we're going to open up with thehorse.com and our pal Christy and Dr. Jones talking about anhidrosis, a condition that can cause a horse to not be able to sweat properly. So that could cause a crisis in a really big hurry. So be ready to
go. Is it
gross? Yeah.
It's not gross, is it?
It's not gross, no.
Okay.
No.
Next up, it's midlife crisis time. No, Glenn has not gone out and purchased a pair of Dale ponies. But the kind of midlife crisis where women of a certain age tell the world to kiss off, shake loose all semblance of practicality, and dive heartfirst into equestrianism. There's a book called Midlife Horses by Melinda Fulce, and she's going to be here to give us the who, what, where, why, and when of her new book. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun because there's a lot of midlife horses out there. And last but certainly not least, Black Beauty, Chapter 21. And if history is any indication, there will be a crisis.
It is kind of crisis day. That's true. Hey, Glenn, by the way, I would like to point out that this is not the Midlife Horses book. It's actually the Smart Woman's Guide to Midlife Horses. So as opposed to the not smart woman, this is the smart way to do it, people. So pay attention.
My first daily winnie goes out. I think it's Justin, but I'm not sure. Harrison, forgive me if I'm saying that wrong. It's a new listener. She said, posted on our Facebook page yesterday, "Teehee, I just found you guys, and the content of this show is rocking my world." Wow, we rock somebody's world, Danny. "I know about this jousting show, know some of the folks that are involved. I'm a driving person and have been interested in the Buck movie." Well, she hit the right day then. "Probably the rest of the week, in her mind, we're going to suck because we won't talk about anything she cares about." So, but that yesterday, when she listened to that first show, we hit them all in one show. So welcome to the show. We're glad to have you join us. And, you know, we're getting a bunch of new listeners again. So we went over, 2,700, I think? So we're a bunch of new listeners now. So we're glad to have you aboard. And now, yours.
Now, in the midst of this awful day, there was one bright spot, and it was when I read an email on our Facebook page from Michelle Dunks. Michelle gets my daily winnie today. She said that we talked a little bit about going to the theater in Tacoma to see Buck. She said that she hopes that I went to the 7:15 show because her mom was in Olympia and saw it at that time. She lives in Houston, and what they do, this is actually really cool, is her and her mom, since they live so far apart, they go to movies at the exact same time, talk about it, you know, before, and then go see the movie and then talk about it afterwards. So it's like a movie date, but you're in different places. I love
that
idea.
That's actually a good idea.
So sweet. Isn't
that
cool?
Because you usually don't talk during the movie anyway, so, you know, that's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. Mom, get ready. We're going to start doing that. so, you know, I thought that was great, but then she said, "It would have been cool if you were there too. Movie date with Mom and my favorite host would have been great."
Yeah.
Hey,
I did see that. And then she writes, "Sorry, Glenn," she reads Black Beauty. I did see the whole favorite host thing. I did take note of that.
Yes, her favorite host. Sorry, Glenn. So I did have a little bright spot. Michelle, you don't know how perfectly timed that nice, sweet compliment was. So I do really appreciate it. And girlfriend,
and Michelle,
right on. We're going to keep reading.
This is for you from me. Hey, I have one more daily winnie really quick, and then we have a caller on the line we're going to take, one of our listeners calling in, and that is, it's Helena's birthday. Helena B.,
Yay!
Of course, my co-host on the Stable Scoop and Tack and Habit show. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Helena. We wish you the best. I know she's taking the day off today, so have fun on your day off up there in right now, beautiful Rhode Island. She's probably going to be down at the beach. She lives 1 mile from the beach. So I'm sure she's down at the ocean today, swimming in the waves. Although I don't know if she can do a whole lot of that with her knee.
I was going to say, she's had a bad year, too.
Yeah, she has. So, and one more thing before we get to our caller is Really Bad Ads on Friday is back. Jamie's back. Really Bad Ads is back. So we want you to submit your Really Bad Ads. We have one of the coveted signed. You know, there are two things coveted on this show. One is a daily winnie. If you get a daily winnie, you're pretty special, because that's why we started daily winnies, was for the special shout outs we wanted to give. You're really special if you end up with a Horse Radio Network hat signed by all of us. So if that's what this week's prize is. We're going to be giving another hat away. So submit your really bad ads. I know Jennifer's been getting some. Submit them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com and put really bad ads in the subject line. That's any really big, bad Craigslist ad that involves horses or farms or horse stuff. Or it can be Dream Horse or wherever you happen to find it. We've been doing sort of a really bad picture of the week, too. So if you find that really bad ad with a really bad picture, send that along, and maybe you'll be the really bad picture of the week as well. So submit those before Friday, by Thursday evening. So get hopping, get reading. And that's about it. Let's talk to, we have a caller, and I knew she was going to be calling in today because she wrote us a little note, and she's one of our avid listeners, and let's say hi to her first. Good morning, Abby.
Hi.
You've been listening for a long time, haven't you?
I have been listening for a long time.
You've been almost since the beginning, because I remember you posting on our Facebook page almost since the beginning. I remember your name because it's easy to remember.
Oh, well, that's good, I think.
Now, you wrote to me, and you have something going on that you want to tell everybody about, and we want to rally the listeners of the Horses in the Morning Show, get the gang together to help Abby out. So tell us about it.
Okay, well, Six Bar, this great tech trunk making company, is having an awesome contest called the Rider of the Month. And it's just open for 25 riders who not necessarily pro or anything. And they just compete for votes, and they get awesome prizes like leather tack from Six Bar. And at the end of the year, they're entered in, the winners are entered in a drawing for one of their super awesome tack trunks. So it's just a really, really, really great thing for riders that just kind of want to get their name out there and have a really good time competing with other riders.
And I went on there and actually voted for you. I put my vote in for you, and I took a look at your pictures and everything. Tell us about your horsey.
Well, the horse in my picture is my old pony. She was a 16-year-old Arabian when I rescued her, and I broke her myself. And now she is with somebody else. I had to adopt her out because I moved. So now I have an awesome, awesome paint gelding, and he is just the center of my world. He's wonderful. His name is Stork, and we do everything together.
His name is Stork? Like the bird?
Yep. Yep, just like the bird.
Okay, and is it, what, how'd the name come about?
Well, he was really, really, really leggy when he was younger. And so since storks have really, really long legs, I guess they just decided to name him Stork. I don't really know. I just think it's kind of cute.
I mean, that sounds a lot better than flamingo. So I think you chose wisely.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So we have to help you out by getting the listeners to vote for you. And Jennifer's going to post a link right now on Facebook. A link to that, it's right in the email she sent us there, Jennifer. And we're going to encourage everybody that's listening to this show, whether you're listening live or recorded, to go vote for Abby because she deserves to be voted for. She's a listener of ours, and we have to support our listeners because we're like a group here.
Yeah,
we're like a
big
club.
Horse Radio Network family.
See? Wait, Abby, we should hire you.
Aww.
That would be great. This is totally my dream. Like, you guys are making my dream come true right now. I've always wanted to have a radio horsey show, so this is really awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we ever do a young person show, because how old are you right now? You're
I'm
in high school still, right?
I'm going to be 17 on the 10th. I'm going to be 17.
And what kind of riding do you do with your paint?
I do English. I want to start eventing really bad.
Yeah, girl. Hey, look. Come on.
There you go. You have a sister there.
So, Abby,
I love it.
Why aren't you eventing? So when you say, I want to start really bad, what's holding you back?
My horse is lame.
Oh, no.
Is it anything major, or is it, what is it?
No, he had a big crack in his hoof, so the farrier thought, oh, well, I'm going to cut his feet really, really short. So it's been a couple weeks, and he's been growing his feet back. And
all right. Why do farriers think that's the solution to everything, by the way?
I don't know.
Just cut him off. Cut him off and start over. Yeah.
Cut him off, and we'll start over. In the meantime, so now your horse had a crack in one foot. Now we're going to cut all the feet off short, and we're going to be sore on all of them. That just always made no sense to me. Just maybe a farrier could explain that. I'd like
please,
to know.
Please do, because I am thoroughly confused. And he's brand new, too. I just got him, like, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
The farrier or the horse?
The farrier. No, just kidding. The horse.
Okay. Gotcha. Like, I just got him 2 weeks ago. Well, that's cool. Keep him in your pocket.
Lives right down the road.
Obviously, the hoof correcting will heal. So after that, you want to get started on eventing. Do you have a coach? Do you take riding lessons with anybody?
Not currently, unfortunately. I'm trying to, you know, it's kind of hard when you can't really afford them. And so you work really hard at McDonald's to pay for board. And then it's like, well, where's all the extra money going to come from? So it's just, it's a lot, but I'll figure it out. I always do.
Girl. Well, good luck to you, man. That's awesome. I know you're working at McDonald's really hard to be able to take care of your horse. And it stinks when somebody makes him lame or they become lame. Not that he made him lame. You know, good luck to you. And so tell me one more time what this contest is and why you think that you're qualified for it or you should win it.
You know, the contest is just, it's great. It's just you get to, you know, show off a little bit and you get to rally all your friends together and you really see how much support you really have and you just win some awesome prizes and I think I deserve to win because I work really hard and I'm really passionate about what I do and there's nothing in the world I would rather be doing than hanging out at the barn and getting dirty and having fun and just riding my heart out.
And I'll add one other thing, and she's a listener of ours. That's the other reason she's
a listener.
Listening to somebody like you at the, you know, almost 17 years old and out there working hard to take care of her horse and working hard to make her dreams come true, you know, you give me hope for our future that there's these young people like you out there. So I will definitely go on and vote for you right now. Good for you.
Oh,
congratulations.
You.
And I hope you win.
Oh, thank you so much. And if I don't win, you know what? This was an awesome experience. And I totally got to make one of my dreams come true today. So that's
well, you
totally
can call us at any time, Abby. We're here every morning. You can call us anytime.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck. We're rooting for you. We'll post it on. I'll go ahead and post it on a bunch of our other Facebook pages and shows too,
Yay.
So we can try and get you over that girl that has the lead. By the way, she.
Oh, I know. She
just,
has like 230 votes or something.
I know. We're gonna knock her off
that.
The pedestal. Let just knock her off. I didn't like her horse anyway, so we'll get her knocked off. We're with you, Abby.
Thank you so much, Sun and Jamie. You guys are my favorite people in the world right now.
People,
bye, Abby.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Take care.
Bye, Abby.
You too.
200
votes. Good for somebody's favorite people.
See, my day's better already. This is awesome. And I swear, talking to somebody like her, it just makes me happy.
I know. And, you know, you can picture it. You were her age. I was working in a restaurant at that point, you know, as a dishwasher, you know, just
Which
hoping
one?
To afford my car, you know. And, you know, I was working at a place called Vin's Diner. I worked there for 4 years. I was a dishwasher, and then I got promoted to a short order cook. I really kind of think that's where I learned to like to cook, actually. But, yeah, I worked there nights over the summer. I would work 11 to 7 shift overnight. And, yeah, it was, you know, it was an experience, but you did it because I actually played golf then. I don't know why, because I hated it every time I went out. And then I just had to afford my car and things. And then if you have to afford a car and a horse, that's got to be tough at a McDonald's wage.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. I worked at the Philly Connection, Glenn. I was the cheesesteak delivery driver.
Really?
Yes. Oh, we all have
like
experiences.
Like the pizza delivery guy?
Like the pizza guy, but I delivered cheesesteaks. And
okay.
People,
all right, so now you
get
always
off your
hear
butt.
These,
and,
you always hear these stories about the pizza guy, you know, knocks on the door and this naked lady answers. Did you ever have any experiences like that?
you know, I was 16 years old. I was working in a college town. It was Emory University. And I went to a couple places that made me very uncomfortable.
I bet.
I can't say that anybody was ever naked, but the people that are too lazy to actually get out of their house and go order a cheesesteak, if you're that lazy, you need it delivered to your house, you're not getting up quick anywhere. So that was kind of the general theme of the cheesesteak delivery purchasers. By the way, that bread gets really soaked and mushy, okay? Why would
By
you
the time
order
you get
a cheesesteak? Ew, it's so gross. People loved it. Like, it was just this mass of wet bread and meat and cheese.
Oh, and this is, the other irony here is that Jamie, for those that are new listeners, is a vegetarian, so that must have been fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really fun. And I was a vegetarian at 16, too. I started at 9 years old. So, yeah, you know what? It was just a job that one of my friends worked out and got me a job, and I delivered cheesesteaks, and I would get a quarter for every delivery. And not everybody tips. So let me just tell you how the money was rolling in.
No, I actually found when we moved, I had kept one of my pay stubs from when I worked at Zin's Diner, which, by the way, was an icon in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. It was the place everybody, all the drunks went after 11 because the only place open. So there would be lines to get into that restaurant all night till like 4 or 5 in the morning. And I found my paycheck. I started at $1.10 an hour. That was minimum wage.
Ew. Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
All right. This show today is sponsored by Back on Track and Back on Track Products. We're glad to have them aboard. We're going to take a minute to check in with Bo over there at Back on Track. And then when we come back, we rearrange the schedule a little bit today. The horse is actually going to be next. And then we're going to have our author on at 10 o'clock. So the schedule's a little bit different. So if you're used to listening to the horse and their growth section, that would be at 9:30 today instead of 10 o'clock. And it's not so gross today, actually. So I'll be okay. I'll be fine today. So here is Bo from Back on Track, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Horses in the Morning, Bo. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
You know, I've spent a lot of time and money, Bo, making sure that my saddle fits my horse perfectly. And my co-host on the Stable Scoop show obsesses over this and has tried different saddles and everything. Does a pad affect saddle fit?
No, it don't affect the fit. It's what our pad do that helps the horses stay more supple and loose when you ride a horse.
Okay, so does the saddle pad make a bigger difference in younger horses or older horses, or doesn't it matter? It pretty much works the same across the board.
The pad is like all our products. You can use it on sound or sore horses. It just helps the horses to feel better.
So it's sort of like, you know, last week we talked about the mesh sheet sort of giving that massaging action. Does the same thing occur with the pad?
Yes. And actually, even them who use the mesh sheet, you can see a big difference when they use the our saddle pads, too.
And so you're supposed to use your saddle pads just at certain times or all the time when you're riding? Just use them anytime, whether it's warm-up or whether it's in competition? When would you use them?
People use them every day, working out or competitor. So the more you use the product, the better results you will have.
All right. Well, that's the saddle pad. It can be found at backontrackproducts.com. Thank you, Bo, and we'll have you back again next week.
Thank you.
Well, thank you to Back on Track for being part of the show. We really appreciate it. And now Jamie's going to take it away, and we're going to talk about a topic that should be of great interest to you, Jamie, where you live. It was only 115 yesterday.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Chrissy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Yes, and when it is 115 degrees, It's not sweating is a bad thing. It's a really bad thing. Do we have Christy and Dr. Jones on the line?
Yes, they're ready.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic today. It's a better day than yesterday because it's just a different day. So you got to look on the bright side, right? So you guys tell us a little bit about anhydrosis, heat stress, that kind of thing. My experience with anhydrosis, and we'll let you guys tell what it is there was a girl in my boarding facility whose horse wouldn't sweat. So this was 20 years ago, and she would have to get off and have a bucket of ice when she was riding in the summer, ice the horse down, sweat scrape him, get back on and keep riding. Now, I think there's better ways to treat it now, and we're just going to let you guys tell us about it.
All right. Well, thanks a bunch for letting us on and to talk about it as usual. I definitely don't have anhydrosis. I wish I did sometimes. But it is something that affects a few horses. I don't know that it's super common, but if your horse isn't sweating properly, then obviously he's running risk for a lot of health issues due to overheating. And, Erin, can you tell us a little bit about just what the condition is?
Yeah, in anhydrosis, there is no sweating. This is exactly what Jamie said and what Christy has stated. And with this no sweating, it rises their core temperature because that's the way that they release heat as well as breathing. So if you're not sweating in this hot and humid weather or just plain hot as in Arizona is, there's going to be a problem with core temperatures going up with horses and then not being able to come back to normal temperature that affects the vital organs.
And what do you tend to see with these horses other than the obvious? They're not sweating or they're sweating in kind of a patchy way or not in a way that you'd expect, maybe not sweating under the saddle pad. Anything else you might see?
Absolutely, and it can come on suddenly. It's not gradual. It can come on suddenly. One day they're sweating fine, the next day they're not. You really have to pay attention to it. The other thing you see them doing is panting. They're huffing and puffing. They're not panting like a dog with their tongue out, but they are huffing and puffing. It's like they can't capture enough air to breathe, and it's not that. They're just trying to blow heat off through the respiratory tract. That's another way of getting rid of heat. And I've had some very dark-colored horses here in Florida with no shade, standing in the middle of pasture, just breathing very hard. And those horses, one could be, one diagnosis could be chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or heaves on these horses, but the other could possibly be they're not sweating.
Now, how common is this? I mean, how often do you see it in Florida?
I see it very often, and I'm not sure about Arizona. I would assume in Arizona they see it just as often. A lot of people say it's because the horses move from up north down here, they don't adjust. But I've seen it in horses who've lived in Florida all their life, and it will just kick in one summer, and then the next summer they'll be fine. So for whatever reason, we don't know why yet, they're shutting down in their ability to thermoregulate and cool off. It's very, very important that people pay attention to the sweat patterns under their saddle pads. And just in their daily lunging work or regular work is that they are sweating under the mane, between the legs and the hind end, things like that, give them clues that they're sweating appropriately. You can also take the temperature if you'd like. It's always going to be raised after work, but how significantly raised is it? Is it more than it normally is? Did you do a harder work today? Is it more humid, more hot today, less wind blowing, that kind of thing?
So that begs the question then, is there a potential that, like, say the horse isn't sweating outright. You're working the horse, and they're not sweating on their neck. They're not sweating between their back legs. Is it possible to not sweat there and still sweat underneath the saddle pad because of the contact, or no? It'd be no sweating.
Well, I would take that as a clue that they're starting to shut down. If they've got sweat under the saddle pad but not under the mane or between the legs, I'd take that as a clue as a possibility that your horse may be starting to have some problems. It's better to jump on these horses early than to wait till they're completely shut down. So
gotcha.
Keep an eye on that. The young lady you spoke about that got off, ice bath her horse, got back on, what a fantastic owner she is. She's managing it well. The other thing she could have done is she could have picked a cooler time of day to ride. Maybe that was the cooler time of day. Maybe she was riding at 5 in the morning or at 8 p.m. at night. So it just depends. Doing the ice bath, and you have to remember you need to sweat scrape off that water. The water will lay on top of the hair and insulate them, become warm itself because they're still trying to get rid of the heat, and now it's become an insulating wetsuit, basically. Pardon the pun.
And Yeah, exactly. And I think that is, I'm sorry to jump in here, Christy, but I think that's one of my biggest pet peeves is that people don't understand how important sweat scraping your horse is, because they don't understand that all that water that sits on them is not cooling them off only for the first maybe 30 seconds, but their body temperature that's radiating out of their skin heats up that water. So it's like having a big, warm, wet blanket on that you know, is not alleviating temperature and actually can make them hotter. So it is incredibly important to sweat scrape your horse. And I know that for some of our listeners that may sound very basic, but it's definitely very important, and everybody needs to know why. You know, run your hands down their legs, squeegee that water off of their legs. Don't insulate the heat into their tendons. Just that kind of stuff. Sorry, that's my soapbox. Carry on.
No, I think I'm with you on that one too. I'm with you on that one too, Janie. And the fact that it's always bothers me when I see people give them a bath and then they walk them off the wash rack and don't even take their hands to wipe off the excess water.
I know. Me too.
It is, and you realize too. I mean, I grew up in Southeast Georgia, and we had a bunch of trail horses that we'd take out every day, and we'd get back at the end of the day, and they were always, you know, dripping and nasty, and so we'd take a hose to all of them, and what we'd usually do is have one person holding those, you know, 10 or 12 horses, go around, hose them all off, and then go around and sweat scrape them all, and if somebody had snagged the sweat scraper and hidden it, you're just doing this with your hands, and just the how hot the water is coming off of them after you just run around that circle. I mean, if that water is that hot coming off of them, you know you're doing a good thing getting it off. So.
Absolutely. And the other comment I want to make, too, is the ice bath. There is no problem with covering a horse head to toe with ice water. There is no tying up incidences. There is no counter effects doing that to a horse. That is an absolutely fabulous thing to do to an overheated horse.
And maybe throw in some alcohol, too, potentially?
Oh, rubbing alcohol is great. It's just a little costly. A bag of ice is a little cheaper than a whole bunch of rubbing alcohol. But either one will work great. And the rubbing alcohol, you don't have to scrape off. That evaporates, so that works well.
Good.
Cool. Now, Erin, you mentioned a little bit ago that, you know, keeping an eye on your horse's sweat pattern so that you can catch it early. When you catch it early, what exactly are you doing to try and counteract this condition?
It's really management. And I hate to tell you, Jamie, but we really don't have a good treatment protocol yet for this disease because we quite don't understand why the sweat glands shut down. Again, we've always made comments, oh, the warm bloods up north come down to Florida and they shut down. And we do see that in their first summer, maybe their second summer. But we do see it on local horses as well and can't figure out why are they shutting down. They've been here all their life. So University of Florida is actually studying cases on it right now to kind of understand the disease. But there are some things you can do to manage it. Again, when you start seeing that sweat pattern decreasing or minimizing, pick the cooler times of day to ride. Get your horse wet or hot up with a soak down with ice bath after you ride when they're hot. The few horses that I have in my practice actually are hot standing in their stall, so maybe turn them out if you have a nice shaded area. If you don't, you may have to consider planting trees or putting up a shed for your horse if they have an area they can sit under. I even actually had an old cowboy put up a misting solution to his horse's problem, and he ran a irrigation line up and around his run-in shed, and the mister would go off at the hot time of the day, and the horses would stand there and get misted all day, just like you would.
My horses get that every day in this godforsaken 115 degrees. That is the one saving grace, I think, is to have the misting system run up and underneath the stalls. And, you know, it's not that expensive to run, you know, a thin stream of water like that. It's not too bad. It's worth it.
No, it's like adding it to your irrigation lines, and you can actually, this guy handmade it himself. He poked holes into his irrigation lines and ran around the frame of the run-in shed, and it just popped out mist when he ran the line, the water through there. It was a fantastic move that he did for his two horses.
Well, he's probably smarter than me. I just went to Lowe's and bought one.
Well, you got fans is the other thing. At the hottest time of the day, doing the bath, you might have to do a couple baths throughout the day if you have a dark horse, no shade, a shed that has no electricity to run a fan to it. You might actually have to take that horse out and bathe them down two or three times a day just to get them cooled off. And I do have a client that has to do that. She has no covering at all on her outside paddocks. It's a leased spot that she has no control over adding trees or adding lean-tos. and the stall barn slash area has no electricity for her to put a fan up. So she's out there 2 and 3 times between 1 o'clock and 6 p.m. bathing off the horse with ice or very cold water. Now, there's a few products that are out there in the market, I think, that some people have probably been using and seeing. One that we use most popularly is called One AC, and I always tell people it's better that the horse is sweating to start them on that than to wait till they completely shut down. We don't have any scientific proof that that works 100%, but it seems clinically that it seems to help those horses that are starting to shut down to help continue to perspire a little bit, if not more. The other options we have are acupuncture. Those seem to work. They don't profusely sweat when you use the acupuncture sites, and it's usually 3 treatments, maybe 5 treatments, but they do start to perspire a little bit.
Acupuncture is like the saving grace for everything, I swear. I've got to try it. It's awesome.
Well, if you are closer to Florida, I'm going to do a little plug for University of Florida. They are accepting horses that are in any treatment for this anhidrosis, and they got to be 2 years old or more. They need to, of course, have anhidrosis diagnosed, and you can look into it a little bit more at the website they have called vetmed.ufl.edu. So that's V-E-T-M-E-D, vetmed.ufl for University of Florida, .edu. And there's a coordinator who's taking emails. His name is Burrow, B-U-R-R-O-W-J, at ufl.edu. And he will screen your horse, I suppose, via email and let you know if your horse is a candidate or not. And they're trying to follow up with these horses with either treatments or acupuncture to see which one works and which one has better progress.
Cool.
Perfect. Thank you very much for giving that information. I hope they can learn a little bit more about the disease and come up with something.
I hope I didn't say it too fast, but I just want to make sure I got it in there.
No, so one more question. So the 1AC, we've all seen the little container 1AC. My girlfriend is an older horse that became came down with anhidrosis as he got older. I mean, he's 33 now, and he's been dealing with it for about 4 years. Well, he's on the 1AC, and can you buy that over the counter? Do you have to get it from your vet? Where do you find it?
Absolutely, over the counter, and it has instructions on the side for different breeds. So certain breeds will have 1 scoop a day, certain breeds will have 2 scoops a day. You just read the side, and it's pretty easy to follow. They even have it for ponies on the side. But you can order it online. I believe you can get it at your feed stores. We don't carry it in our vet trucks because it's just one more thing that would fill up our vet trucks. We just tell our clients to go to the local feed store and get it to start their horses on it before they completely shut down. Again, we don't have any scientific proof that it works perfectly and every single time, but it seems to work clinically on a lot of horses.
Better than nothing.
Well, it's better than the old method, which do either one of you know what the old method is?
No. What is it?
Do we want to know?
Oh, Glenn? Glenn, you don't know what the old method is?
Do we want to know?
Dark beer.
Oh, that works.
Feed your horse dark beer.
I think that works
really
anyway. What can it hurt? You know? If nothing else, the horse is just happier.
Exactly.
Well, of course you get to share a beer with your horse and then you're happier, right?
I do have a quick question. I think we might have covered this before, but it's probably a good time to cover it again in the middle of summer where it's 120 degrees out where Jamie is and covered in dust. We heard it yesterday in one of the shows. I don't know which show I was doing, but they talked about after riding a horse, he's all hot and sweaty, giving him cold water. Did we ever determine whether cold water was any different than room temperature water?
In that world, no. Either one is fine.
Okay, because isn't that an old wives' tale that keeps coming up?
Absolutely.
I think it's actually was in Black Beauty yesterday is what it was. I told you that book was crap. So yesterday, in Black Beauty, there was a comment about the horse coming back all sweaty, and then they give it cold water, and that was a terrible thing.
Yeah,
Go ahead. I'll get in at the end.
I had a very well-known client, and I'll leave it at that, that would not allow the horses to drink after they got worked for like 30 minutes, period. They would let them drink at all.
Oh. Well, that's just dumb.
And that, it still goes on today with these people. Still goes on today. So, yeah, it's not the smartest thing.
So water's water.
Okay,
so doesn't matter if it's cold.
Listen.
Exactly.
I am going to read this to you. Granted, Black Beauty, Glenn, had just galloped full out for 16 miles. 16 miles. They had to go get the doctor, and then the doctor's horse wasn't there, so then they had to gallop Black Beauty back, and he rubbed him down, did not put a warm cloth on him, didn't put the cooler on him, and he gave him two full buckets of ice-cold water. See, now I would think that would seize up a little bit. It makes me, my belly uncomfortable if I drink ice-cold water when I'm really hot and lots of it. So, you know what? They should have given him a little bit less intermittent sips. You know, you don't want the horse to, am I right here? You don't want the horse to gulp down two buckets of ice cold water when they're super hot. That just seems smart to me. But what do you think, Dr. Jones?
I think if they need it, they need it. You take a horse to water, you can't make them drink. They know what they need. You'd be amazed. The horses, the ranch horses that go out there on the ranches, they'll come back and they'll down a lot of water after working the cattle because they've been away from water for quite some time.
See, I just remember working at the track, and when we'd get off the horses that we galloped, we would put give them to the hot walker, and the hot walker would walk them, and they would walk them around, and their bucket sits outside the stall because they move them for when they're walking by the shed row. And they walk around the shed row. He brings them there, offers them a sip of water, doesn't let them chug it, walks them around again, comes back and offers them another sip of water. So they make the entire way around the barn slowly cooling out as opposed to, so you know what? I'm going to go with Black Beauty on this one, Dr. Jones. I agree to disagree.
We all have our feelings that makes the world go around.
You lose to a 170-year-old book.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Modern medicine has lost to a 170-year-old old wives' tale book.
There you go. I'm with you, Dr. Jones. I'm on your side. And you know what? Katie Living Good is going to have the last word on this. She posted on Facebook, I've always been told that room temperature water is better than cold water, not because cold water makes them sick, but because the horse uses up energy to warm up the cold water, so therefore it warms them up. Room temperature water doesn't use as much energy, so it cools off better. That sounds just as good as any of the other ones, in my opinion. So
sure, why not? I like it.
Well, they
thank
do
you,
say
Dr.
so.
Jones.
In the wintertime, the horses are more apt to drink water if it's not ice cold. So if you break the ice off the top of your bucket, it's better to have a little more warmer water in the wintertime for them to drink than the ice-cold bucket
Well, and
water.
That makes perfect
so that,
sense, you know, yeah.
That has been shown in studies over and over.
And
well,
I think
Dr.
Aaron,
Jones, where
if I remember
people
correctly,
learn more? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry, I was just going to throw one more thing in about that. Aaron, wasn't it that they would actually preferentially drink the colder water, but they would drink more of the warmer water if it was all that was available?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, you got it.
All right, well, Dr. Jones, where can people find you? What's your website?
We're at www.florida, spelled out, floridaequine.com.
Thank you so much for coming on every week and putting up with our crap.
Sorry.
Oh, I enjoy it immensely. I look forward to it.
It's a challenge. Just look at it that way. It's a challenge. Like you need any more in your week.
You guys are the best.
It's a different challenge. I'll look at it that way. It's different.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Jones. Christy, hang on here.
Okay.
So now, Christy, I hear you're going out Jamie's way to do some skydiving.
I am actually going to be flying in the wind tunnel this weekend with my team, and I will admit that that dust storm picture that you guys posted this morning did not make me want to go there.
Don't do it, girl. It's horrible. It's hell out here, I tell you.
So you're actually
I've been in the wind
be...
tunnel. Actually, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you're not actually going to be diving. You're going to be doing the wind tunnel there.
I'm going to be doing the wind tunnel. And I've actually been in the wind tunnel during a dust storm, but I don't think it looked anything like that. And the really funny thing that I wasn't expecting with that sandstorm, it's an open tunnel, okay, so it's drawing air from outside. It's not like recirculating all indoors or anything, I wish. But so, of course, it's getting dusty in there. You know, you're getting a little dust in your teeth or in your eyes or whatever. But what I wasn't expecting was the static electricity because it's so dry out there. It's like we're flying in formation, right? And so anytime you're touching your buddies, you're zapping each other, just like when you walk around on the carpet in the winter and you touch the wall or the light switch or your friend, you're zapping each other. You're doing this all over the place. It's really quite distracting.
You should go do
yeah.
this, Jamie. You should go down. You would have so much fun.
Just come watch. Come check it out. I'm thinking that's a no.
Jamie, are you there?
It's kind of far away. I want to meet Christy.
Crap! It's an hour away.
We'll have to talk about it. I think that once I got there, I think she might try to pressure me to get in, and I'm a little scared. Christy, I do want to tell you that I was envisioning you jumping out of an airplane in Phoenix when the dust storm came yesterday, and then finding you in New Mexico. Literally, it would just sweep you away. You'd land on a cactus in New Mexico. Good Lord. But we'll see. We'll talk about it. If it's this weekend, it's a good weekend for me to actually head down there and give it a go. So,
and it's not, you don't go high in the wind tunnel, right? It's just you get a couple feet off the ground. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got the tunnel's built up probably about the floor of the tunnel. See, there's a net under the base of the tunnel, and it's probably built up about 15, 20 feet off the ground, something like that. But you're only just, you know, within a few feet of the net most of the time. So
yeah, so it's
yeah, and I've read,
yeah, there's no like landing kind of things.
No, well, I read about it, and I think it's like a 3 or 4 hour training session to do 1 minute in the wind tunnel, and that's a time commitment for me.
I don't think it's quite that long. I don't think it's quite that long. Usually it was just like 30 minutes or something, I think, in some, most of the other tunnels. But I'll check it out and let you know.
Okay. Go look. Tell me about it. Are you doing it on Sunday too?
We're actually going to be flying this particular trip. We're flying some on Friday night and a couple of sessions on Saturday. But I think there's going to be a military group in there training quite a bit this weekend. So all of our time is front-loaded. We're not training on Sunday. We're flying home on Sunday.
Okay. That makes it harder. That gives me a better excuse.
It gives you a better excuse.
All right, Christy.
Later in the year, so you'll have all sorts of chances.
Christy,
okay,
you need
good.
To drag your ass out there to do this. You really do. I want pictures, too.
Well,
I want pictures
does.
Of
we'll
her face
do.
All smashed back as she's floating along.
Yeah, people aren't pretty in free fall, by the way.
No, it's not attractive, is it?
No.
Thanks, Christy.
Especially, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Christy. Hey, you're going to make me go joust. I'm going to make you go get your face all smashed to pieces in the tunnel thing.
Wow, you're selling it so well. I mean, you know... Well,
hey, you know, we were talking yesterday about that show, the Full Metal Armor jousting show. Remember I said Wendy, our friend, our driving friend, said that she's gonna do it. She texted me. Well, she was serious. She's actually getting the video together, and she sent in her application. She really wants to do it. She's about
awesome.
5'4", and you know, little tiny thing, but she's tough. I mean, she's a tough girl. So she said, you know, I'm going to try it. So she really wants to get in the finals and go do this thing.
Well, that's good for her. I think that's awesome. And we'll definitely follow her progress for sure.
All right. Do you need to do a song, or do you want to go right into Black Beauty? What do you want to do?
Up to you, my friend. I'm ready for whatever.
All right. Well, let's do Black Beauty, and then we'll come back with our guest, who is Melinda Fulf, and she wrote the book, The Smart Woman's Guide to Midlife Horses. Do you realize that is the biggest growing segment of horse people in the world, is the 40- or 50-year-old women who the kids are out of the house and they decide, I've always wanted to have horses, or they had horses when they were kids and got out of it, and they're getting back into horses. And I'm sure that a good number of our listeners fall into that category. So that's what we're going to talk about with Melinda here shortly. Mm-hmm. But first, the carnage begins.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 21, The Parting. I had now lived in this happy place 3 years, but sad changes were about to come over us. We heard from time to time that our mistress was ill. The doctor was often at the house, and the master looked grave and anxious. Then we heard that she must leave her home at once to go to a warm country for 2 or 3 years. The news fell upon the household like the tolling of a death bell. Everyone was sorry, but the master began directly to make arrangements for breaking up his establishment and leaving England. We used to hear it talked about in our stable. Indeed, nothing else was talked about. John went about his work silent and sad, and Joe scarcely whistled. There was a great deal of coming and going, and Ginger and I had full work. The first of the party who went were Miss Jessie and Flora with their governess. They came to bid us goodbye. They hugged poor Merrylegs like an old friend, and so indeed he was. Then we heard what had been arranged for us. Master had sold Ginger and me to his old friend, the Earl of W, for he thought we should have a good place there. Merrylegs had been given to the vicar, who was wanting a pony for Miss Bloomfield, but it was on the condition that he should never be sold, and when he was past work, that he should be shot and buried. Joe was engaged to take care of him and to help in the house, so I thought Merrylegs was well off. John had the offer of several good places, but he said he should wait a little and look around. The evening before they left, the master came into the stables to give me some direction and give his horses the last pat. He seemed very low-spirited, and I knew by his voice. I believe we horses can tell more by the voice than many men can. "Have you decided what to do, John?" he said. "I find you have not accepted any of those offers." "No, sir, I have not made up my mind that if I could get a situation with some first-rate colt breaker and horse trainer, that would be the right thing for me. Many young animals are frightened and spoiled by wrong treatment, which need not be, and if the right man took them in hand, I always get on well with horses, and if I could help some of them to a fair start, I should feel as if I was doing some good. What do you think of it, sir?" "I don't know a man anywhere," said Master, "that I think should be so suitable for it as yourself. You understand horses, and somehow they understand you, and in time, you might set up for yourself. I think you could not do better. If in any way I can help you, write to me. I shall speak to my agent in London and leave your character with him." Master gave John the name and address, and then he thanked him for his long and faithful service. But that was too much for John. "Pray don't, sir. I can't bear it. You and my dear mistress have done so much for me that I could never repay it. But we shall never forget you, sir, and please God we may someday see mistress back again and like herself. We must keep up hope, sir." Master gave John his hand, but he did not speak, and they both left the stable. The last sad day had come. The footman and the heavy luggage had gone off the day before, and there was only Master and Mistress and her maid. Ginger and I brought the carriage up from the hall up to the hall door for the last time. The servants brought out cushions and rugs and many other things, and when we were all arranged, Master came down the steps carrying Mistress in his arms. I was on the side next to the house and could see all that went on. He placed her carefully in the carriage while the house servants stood around crying. "Goodbye again," he said. "We shall not forget any of you." And he got in. "Drive on, John." John jumped up and we trotted slowly through the park and through the village where the people were standing at their doors to have a last look and say God bless them. When we reached the railway station, I think Mistress walked in from the carriage to the waiting room. I heard her say in her own sweet voice, "Goodbye, John. God bless you." I felt the rein twitch, but John made no answer. Perhaps he could not speak. As soon as Joe had taken the things out of the carriage, John called him to stand by the horses while he went on the platform. Poor Joe. He stood close up to our heads to hide the tears. Very soon the train came puffing up into the station. Then 2 or 3 minutes and the doors were slammed to, the guard whistled, and the train glided away, leaving behind it only clouds of white smoke and some very heavy hearts. When it was quite out of sight, John came back. "We shall never see her again," he said. "Never." He took the reins, mounted the box, and with Joe, drove slowly home. But it was not our home now. Up next tomorrow, part 2, we begin with chapter 22, Earlshall. Thank you very much. All right.
You're welcome.
Pull you up out of your bootstraps, people. Get ready. Don't get ugly.
All right, today, it's not going to get ugly right now because we have a great guest on. That comes tomorrow in the reading of Black Beauty when it gets ugly. But today's guest we have with us, Melinda Fultz, I think it said, and she wrote the book, The Smart Woman's Guide to Midlife Horses. One of the biggest growing sections of the horse world is women getting back into horses. The kids are growing and getting out of the house. And all of a sudden now they have time and they have the energy to go, look, I can get back into horses again. Maybe they rode when they were a kid. And, you know, it's funny because Katie Livingood just posted on Facebook that that's a huge component of the horse world she's in and the gated world, that group of women. So good morning, Melinda.
Good morning.
Now, you wrote this book. Are you one of those women?
I am. That's what started the whole thing.
So you were riding when you were a kid and then got out of it and got back in? Tell us about it.
I did. I always loved horses from the time I was a little bitty girl, and my dad's always loved horses, too. And that's something we kind of shared. And I had a horse a couple of times growing up, but I was never able to really, you know, do the horse thing the way I wanted to. So it was a very strange coincidence. My dad was looking for a horse, and I went with him and ended up buying one myself, and I'm still not sure what came over me. But I was 45 years old, and it was just one of those deals. At the time, you know, I really didn't understand what all that was about, but I just knew that I needed that horse. So.
Well, you learned quickly, didn't you?
I jumped right in. I didn't know what in the world I was getting myself into.
So tell us about the book. What is the book about? What's it cover, and how does it help these women maybe before they go jump into the deep end?
Well, that's sort of the premise of the book is I did everything wrong, you know. I bought the horse, and then I started, you know, trying to figure out what I needed to do. And it's actually, I had this horse gave me some trouble, and every possible area a horse can give a person trouble. And because I'm a writer and I know how to research things, every time something would come up with the horse, I'd get online, I'd go find an expert, I'd you know, find somebody to help me. And so I looked around and I realized I'd amassed this huge amount of information. You know, I felt like, and I also noticed how many women there are. You know, at the clinics and things that I went to, everybody there was my age or older, and everybody seemed to be having the same issues and the same struggles and that I was having. So I just put it all together, and I had just helped Clinton Anderson finish his book, Lessons Well Learned, and so because I worked for him, I got to go to a lot of clinics and talk to a lot of women, you know, and it's just amazing, the conversations from city to city all over the country. You know, we're all in this together. So it was kind of the book that I was looking for when I started out. just <wasn't.
laughs> Well, and one of the things I really liked about it is you not only covered the emotional and the physical aspect, but you also covered the financial aspect. I asked Jamie a question. What do you think, conservatively, that it costs somebody just to keep a horse in their backyard a year?
A year? I'd have to do the math. Let me crunch some numbers while you guys are discussing, and I'll get back to you.
All right. We're gonna get anybody on Facebook can post that too. What do you think it costs on an annual average to keep a horse in your backyard, stabled at home, where you're doing all the stuff? I actually was surprised in your book to find that figure. I was surprised it was that high, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it depends on the horse, and it depends on where you are and what all you're trying to do, you know, of course. So there's a lot of variables there. But, it's all your disposable income and then some.
Now, you actually have
up,
some.
Though, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, nobody wants to count it up because we really don't want to know. You know,
yeah, I know. I'm doing this.
Sticking our head
in
the sand
don't...
with our butt in the air is much, much more fun.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. All right. Now, you have a couple of many kernels of wisdom from a lot of different people in this book. What are a few of your favorites and maybe one that you could tell everybody about?
Well, there's a lot. You know, everybody I talked to had something really interesting to say. But I think the biggest revelation to me, what kept me digging, is the horse trainer that I hired finally when I realized I just couldn't handle this horse alone. My horse was bucking and acting crazy, and I hired a guy from Canada who trained with Peter Campbell, who trained with Ray Hunt, and so it was a whole line of thinking about, you know, horse problems are really people problems, and he really made me mad. I mean, because he was saying, you know, this horse is all tight and bothered on the inside, and it's just, you know, you're causing this.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, it's true. It caused me to look at myself and where I was, and that a lot of my anxiety when I would get on him was just he was feeling that, and I'd never given that any thought before. So,
one of my favorites. Well, and I wanted to ask you too when you spoke about Ray Hunt. Of course, we've been talking a lot and about the movie Buck, and we had him on with us last Friday. He came on the show with us, and so did you see it?
I did. Yeah, I've seen the movie twice now. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, and yeah, well, good. I'm glad you liked it. One of the things I like about this book and that you do in here is you offer, it really is comprehensive. You offer all of the alternatives too. From, you know, you talk about buying and selling and leasing as an option. Maybe leasing is a better option for some people before they dive into ownership.
Mm-hmm.
You really do go through everything in this book.
Yeah, it seemed like I kept turning up information that, you know, I didn't know you could lease a horse. You know, I never even realized that. Of course, a lot of people in the horse world do it, and I now know that most people know that you can lease a horse. But, you know, it's just what I wanted to do is kind of create a guidebook that sort of shows people by example how they can find the answers that are right for them. Because there's so much information in the horse world and so many people ready to tell you what you should do. And what it boils down to, especially at this time in life, is finding what works for you and your life and your risk tolerance, and, you know, and being able to sift through all that information and find the right solutions. And there's a million of them, you know. You just gotta find that match.
Well, and I know that, you know, a lot of our listeners, we've heard from them over the past couple of years, fall into this category. And I think you're right. I think a lot of them make the same mistakes that you made. And have the same issues that you had, and that's, you know, I'm just so happy that you did this book. Now, if we could only get it into the hands of the women before they actually buy the horse, and you even talk about adoption in here, and you know, adopting a thoroughbred off the track isn't necessarily the best idea.
No, you got to know what you're doing.
I know, but I love it because
that's
in here you. Yeah, exactly. And I love it because in here you give the options. You can, if you're feeling altruistic like that and you're really, you know, want to support the adoptions off the track, donate money, donate time. Don't
mm-hmm.
take one of those horses until you're more experienced. So, you know, there's all those things. And then you also have Clinton Anderson's tips for smarter horse shopping, which the first one I love, don't go by yourself. Take someone with you who knows horses. How many times have we seen that? I'm sure Jamie has too. Over the years.
The horse we think we want, that big, prancy, shiny, you know, horse that's got so much energy, when you're on his back or trying to control him on the ground, you know, it can be pretty eye-opening.
And here is the one, number four, Jamie, that every horse girl in the world that goes to get a horse, doesn't matter age, falls into. This should have been number one on his list, and that's don't let prettiness blind you. Seriously.
Yes. That's right.
Isn't there an old wives' tale that says never, when you go to buy a horse, never look him in the eye, look him all over and see that first before you look him in the eye, because once you look him in the eye, you fall in love with him.
You're done. That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, you're toast. I've never been guilty of that ever.
She said she's never been guilty of that ever.
Oh, right. Sure.
I'm like, sure, he bucks and he rears, he's skinny, he's mad, he bites, but he's so pretty. And I think
he's so pretty, and he can fix all that, right?
I
yeah,
know.
That can
exactly.
You can. It just might take you the rest of your life.
You're
and a few broken
actually.
Bones and trips to the hospital.
yeah, at least 2 years, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Jamie, you have a bunch of your students that fall into this category, don't you?
I sure do. You know what? And, you know, I'm so glad that these are women that go find help. You know, granted, if it wasn't me, I hope it would be some other responsible trainer who could help them. But I have a lot of women that, just like you said, either their kids are teenagers and they are trying to find an interest of their own, you know, aside from raising children, or their kids are out of the house. And they've always loved horses. They decide to get into it a little bit later on in life. They're a little more financially secure, so they're able to afford a horse and board and somebody to give them some riding lessons and help them. And, you know, a lot of times we spend more than an hour, you know, they might spend an hour riding, but it's a 2 to 3 hour lesson because it's like, okay, how exactly do I do blank? You know, how do I load a horse? How do I teach him to lead better? Oh, he runs me over. You know, even just minor problems like that, you know, just getting a little bit of help. And I encourage all women at this age, you know, you can, your bones break and you get scared and, having a right start is the most important part of this, because you, and it's the same with your kids. It's the same all the way around. If you start out right and you start with a good, safe horse, may not be the fanciest horse in the world, but start with something safe, start with something good, and find a good instructor to help you, you will enjoy it immensely, as opposed to the people that go, oh, I'm going to get my daughter a horse and they're going to grow up together. Or, well, you know what? I just decided that, I mean, he's only $400, so I saved on the price and I can spend more. No. Hire somebody to go
Belinda,
help you horse shop.
Belinda, we have a little bumper music that we play at times that comes up on the show.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
That's great. I was just thinking about that.
You know what? You should put that little sound file right in the front of your book, so when they open up the cover, that plays.
Absolutely.
Because that would be perfect.
Like a musical card. I love it.
Uh-huh. I did not think of that.
I got to tell you, Jamie, I know you haven't had a chance to look at this book. In this book, it even talks about trainer agreements and what should be in a trainer agreement when somebody trains your horses. It talks about how to pick out somebody like you, an instructor, and, you know, what you should look for. It talks about Certified Horsemanship Association and all the different kinds of instructors and the ways you should find them. And the other thing I liked about this book, Melinda, is it's easy to read. It's quick. It's a quick read. It's not going to take you a month. And you can get through this and then reference the chapters that you're going to need when you actually go through the process.
Well, that was what I was hoping for. You know, I used to love travel books. This guy named Rick Steve wrote the funniest travel books, and they were packed with information, but they were fun to just read, you know. And so when I started this book, I thought that's kind of the tone. I want it to be something that's readable and reasonably entertaining, but also to have some good information in it that people can, like you say, come back to when they get ready for that sort of thing.
All right, so this makes a good gift. We'll end with this. This makes a good gift for anybody who knows somebody, knows one of these women, or this book would apply to anybody, not just those women, but, you know, who is getting their first horse. Buy them the book, get it for them, give it to them, make them read it before they ever go horse shopping.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's where it would be perfect. Where can people find the book to buy it?
Well, right now it just came out on July 1st, and so it's still kind of early. Horseandriderbooks.com, and I know you can order it there. You can even download a few sample chapters if you want to just kind of get a feel for it there at horseandriderbooks.com. And then I believe it's on Amazon, and it should be landing in stores pretty soon. So we're kind of
working. Yep, I actually found it on Amazon. It's there. It's ready to ship, they said. So,
good.
You'll find it there as well. And I think the price, it's very reasonable. I forget the price off the top, but I know it was very reasonable. And I know you also have a Facebook page. Jennifer's going to post a link to all of that on our Facebook page. So if you want to find the book or buy it for somebody for a gift, it comes recommended. I think it's a darn good idea for anybody getting a first horse. Well, thank you, Melinda. We appreciate
you being
with us, and good luck with yours.
Well, thank you very much. It's fun talking to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You
now,
never
Glenn,
bought a pretty horse.
Yeah, I never would have done something like that. Like I said, he's not standing in my backyard right now.
We forgot the amount. What was the amount that you came up with per year?
Okay, I came up with, probably hung up on her before I got to it. $800 for hay a year. This is one horse standing in your backyard. $240 for grain. This is what I'm going off on what I spend. $850. I hope my husband's not listening, especially this part. $850 for shoes. They get all the way around, you know, special shoes. $400, you know, for basic veterinary care, just basically spring and fall vaccines. I can't believe I spend this much. $100 for supplements a year, too.
How much?
And that's not including my joint armor.
How much was the supplement?
$200.
Okay.
And that's just basically electrolytes and flax, flax seeds that I buy in a 50-pound bag. So that's not – oh, I hope he's not listening. Yeah, so the grand total was about $2,500 a year for a horse standing in your backyard.
And you're a little low. The average is $4,000.
Oh, really?
You would be – I worked with Spark Pack for a little while. You would your supplement bill is way low compared to most people's. Most people that were getting Smart Packs were in the $100 to $200 a month range.
Okay, well, let me just be honest here. I really wasn't. I was going low on that one because I don't want to tell you the amount of ridiculous things that I'm like, okay, Jack gets his MSM, and then he gets corn oil because he's a little bit on the light side, and then also, you know, I got to get the multivitamin to my warm blood, and then the joint supplement goes to my old horse, and then they all get flax, and then they all get. I'm like. It's so funny to leave the instructions for, you know, the farm sitter, and it's like supplements is like a half page. So it's more, oh God, I hope he's not listening. So it's more probably like three times that, but whatever. I was trying to be low. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's more like 4,000, Chad. Sorry. It's probably closer to that amount than her amount.
And then multiply that by three, because three of them are ours. And the old 25-year-old blind horse, he eats more than all the horses put together, and his shoes are more expensive than all the horses put together.
Now, Jennifer, tell me, you were probably calculating at the same time, what do we pay for Beaker a year? I don't think we're even close to that, are we?
Not even close.
He's a pretty cheap keeper.
Yeah, I think we're about half that. Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
but what's board a month? You guys board him.
Well, we kind of work off our board. We have a deal with.
I know. We have a sweat equity deal.
Yeah. So.
Sweat equity. Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's.
But what do you board at her place? What does the average horse person pay for boarding?
If I would pay for average in this area for pasture board, you're going to be between around $200 to $250 for a pasture board, and most of the time you buy your own hay, so that's a separate bill.
Yeah, but in Kentucky, you don't even need freaking hay. Good Lord, the grass
you
grows
sure
up.
Do. January, February, March, you have to give them hay.
Oh, God, 3 months. Oh, you poor things. Amazing. Yeah, you know, crunching the numbers, but you know what? It's how much would I spend on a therapist?
Sure.
How much would I spend on, you know, entertainment that, you know, could cost a lot more? Going to a pub, you know, or a bar or something.
See, that's
like
what
that.
I was
going
just going to say. With you, you would just get in trouble. It would be bad.
How much would you
much
how much
better,
spend in bail?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What's the cost for the jail? No, seriously, it is therapy, and our money, sure, could be saved and we'd be unhappy, or it could be spent elsewhere and you're still spending it, or it could get you in trouble. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Glenn, that my horse saved my butt in high school. I recommend everybody gets their teenage daughter a horse if they're interested in it, because my gosh, you know, where my friends were going out and sneaking out of their house at 3 a.m, I was like, sorry, I got a horse show at 5 a.m. I got to get up for. So, you know, it's definitely saved me throughout my entire life, and it continues to do so. And I don't think you can put a price on that if you can afford it. If you can't, watch out.
Well, Jamie, I got to say, you know, we've been talking a lot, actually, because we started with Abby and we talked about her working at McDonald's to afford a horse. We've been talking about money a lot on this show today. And I got to say, $36 million for an ugly horse painting is just ridiculous.
I really thought that you were about to announce that you were going to give me a raise.
Oh, no,
you
were wrong.
A lot about money and how expensive it is, and I really got to tell you something, Jamie. Booyah. You're getting a raise. Okay, not so much. Great. Yeah,
that's not it.
Enough.
No, that wasn't it.
I'm disappointed now. Yeah, tell me about the painting, because you got to tell everybody about this. This is amazing.
A George Stubbs painting of the racehorse Gimcrack?
Gimcrack.
First
Jim
of all, Gimcrack is a horrible name for a racehorse. This painting of Gimcrack, which, by the way, this horse is skinny and it looks like it needs food and its tail is cut off, and there's a kid underneath it looking like he's getting ready to clean the sheath. I'm not quite sure what the kid's doing underneath the horse. But anyway, it's not my favorite painting in the whole world, as you can tell, just went at Christie's auction for $36 million.
Oh, God. That hurts my
stomach.
It's
a freaking painting. You know how many horses you can buy for $36 million?
A lot. I bet
you can feed them forever, $36 million.
Who on earth has the money to spend $36 million freaking dollars on a painting?
By the way, the price blows the previous record for a Stubbs work of art. His previous work was Broodmare and Foals, which sold in 2010 for about $20 million. So this one was almost $16 million more. At
now,
the same
I know
auction,
we talked about...
Yeah, sorry.
I know we talked about one of his paintings selling for a lot not too long ago, but then some of them didn't even sell, and I know you're about to talk about that. We're going to have to post these on Facebook.
Yeah, at the same auction, a John Wooten painting entitled Lord Hardley's Bloody Shouldered Arabian. First of all, the name is bad. Bad name. Sold for about $200,000. And it so that was, but see, you know, that $200,000 I can sort of get for somebody that's crazy into painting, you know. And then there was another horse that was done in 1731 that actually went for $804,000. So I, you know, you could buy, you know, when we've had things you'll the segment we do occasionally, things you'll never own, and we've had those farms that are $10-12 million. You could, for $36 million, buy one of those fancy farms and afford to keep it up for the next 20 years.
It hurts me that somebody would pay $36 million for a painting. But you know what? Good on them, because that must mean they have a really nice farm. Can you imagine what the house of a person that can spend $36 million on a painting looks like? Good Lord, I want to go to their place.
All right, we got to get out of here. I want to remind everybody to go to our Facebook page, find the link for Abby, and vote. She just sent me a little note that said, I'm getting votes. So she's really happy about it, and she deserves it. She works hard for her horse. So go to there. You'll find a link to vote for Abby on her little contest that she has going on. She was a sweetie, and she deserves it. So go do that.
Yeah.
Also, Tack and Habit came out today. So the Tack and Habit show is out this week. It's called Fuzzy Love. So you're going to want to – we sort of have a porn names going with the Tack and Habit show. Helena comes up with the names, and I said to her yesterday, I said, do you realize that every name over the last 3 months could have been a porn movie title? And she said, yeah, that's what I was going for. So there you go, Fuzzy Love, this is the Tack and Habit show. And you can also follow everything else on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website or affiliate websites, iTunes. And I'm still working on that very special guest for the next Woman's Hope series, Glenn. So I'm hoping Friday maybe. So I will let you know. But the next Woman's Hope series is coming up. I am working on it on a daily basis, actually. So here's to hoping that your days get better and that there's no giant haboob windstorm at your house today.
I hope. Do you need me to send over a big vacuum?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you use a big vacuum today out there, or a couple brooms, or just a whole bunch of help?
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the blower out, and I'm going to blow my tile floors out. I'm just going to use that to clear the dust off. No, but everybody, please remember to spay, neuter, and geld, people. Goodbye. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a better day today, Jamie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.